to the CAPS Health Matters Show. We are committed to improving healthcare in partnership with patients. I'm your host, Dr. Natasha Washington, Executive Director of Consumers Advancing Patient Safety. Today we have with us Dr. Brian Isitz and patient advocate Amy Olson, who are going to share some wisdom about improving medication management. Today's topic, medication management, and why providers and patients need to know all medicines they are taking. We'll talk a little bit about AHRQ, which is the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, tools that have been created to assist both providers and patients to create a safe medicine list together. Dr. Isitz is a pharmacist from University of Minnesota and an expert in medication management. Dr. Isitz, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, Dr. Washington, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about why we should, or why should providers and patients use a Create a Safe Medicine List Together program?
Sure, you betcha. You know, we think, look at the number of medicines that are used in this country, and nearly half of the people in the United States have used at least one prescription medicine in the last 30 days. And we don't have reliable information as well as the non-prescription and herbal remedies they're using. And we do know that the big picture is that we have to build a medication use system that are friendly to patients. And the big picture is, how do we help patients routinely achieve their goals of therapy with zero tolerance for preventable medication harms? And that's why this Create a Safe Medicine List Together is so important, because we have to start with that reliable medicines list.
So it sounds like it's really important for both patients and providers to have a complete and accurate medication list. Can you tell me why?
Right. So, well, thank you, Natasha. And the big reason is that before we can get to creating that medication use system that's right for that the individual patient, whether they work, live, or play, is that we have to get our handle on why they're taking the medicines, the intended use, how they're working for that individual, effectiveness, the safety of those medicines, and then the ability to take the medicines. And the most important starting point is that medicines list that covers everything that an individual has in their medicine cabinet, on their kitchen table, in their cabinet, in their glove box, in their car, so that we can get that big picture. And I kind of joke, it's like putting Humpty Dumpty back together again to make sure their medicines are right for them.
So I would imagine, Dr. Isitz, that, you know, in the hospital setting, we know that errors occur, and that's because of communication issues, so on and so forth. But it sounds like in the primary care setting, the same type of medication safety issues can occur. Is that true?
Well, that is true. And we talk about medication reconciliation as a term that's used quite widely. And I like to look at it this way. It's what you do with a well-reconciled medication list that makes all the difference. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means. But again, it's that shared decision-making with the patient and their family when we have that accurate medicine list to make sure those medicines are right for that patient.
Since our audience is primarily consumers and we really want to share information for them to leave today's podcast with a better understanding of what they could do different, so can you talk to us a little bit about how do patients help make the medication list?
Yeah, thank you, and I've spent a fair amount of my career helping with what we call the person and family engagement community, help them work together so we can use the resources we have on our healthcare team. And here's the way I like to look at it. I look at it like if you were at home playing solitaire and you arrange cards according to suits. That's really much similar to your medications. And when we can then use our family members and almost turn it into a fun activity, rather than medicines are a lot of times secretive, done behind doors or stigmas, we bring it out in the open so we all are helping. We can then put the medicines into the group. Here are my heart medicines. Okay, here are all of my lung medicines for each of your medical conditions. And then begin to build the list out based on from the medical conditions you're taking them. And that really is a great way to start to get that list. And once you do it once, you know, it's a little bit of a job to work together to get that list. Once we have that medicine list right from the patient's perspective, then it makes all of our work going forward that much more effective.
Wow, that's I really love your analogy with regards to the card deck, because I had never thought of it from that perspective. So thank you so much for that. You know, when we talk about bringing all medicines, you know, when I think about my mother, there's certain creams that she uses. You know, she uses drops in her eyes. There's a difference, obviously, between the pills that we take, right, for our certain diagnoses, and then some of the maybe even over-the-counter drugs like Tylenol. Can you talk a little bit about, when you say the medication list, what really should we be including?
Yeah, we talk about this medicines list. Here's another approach I like to take is that I'll have to say, let's say I'm not in the patient's home, or I'll say, well, let's just close your eyes for a minute and walk me through your entire day from the minute you get up until the minute you go to bed, and think about each little bottle that, or what other remedy, or maybe it's a tea you use. Let's walk through that entire typical day of yours, and then let's kind of, that we'll begin to put those, that information around the medicines that aren't obtained through prescription. Because we also know, Natasha, that 7% of all medicines used in this country are obtained by friends and family. So we have to get that list on there as well.
Wow. So we could be talking anything from, you know, cold medicines, Tylenol, ointments and creams, bottles, drops, inhalers, injections, and to your point, you know, or even herbal medications.
Right. Another great example is we talk about the acetaminophen or Tylenol that's used. Well, acetaminophen is in like dozens of ingredients, and it's hidden in many places. So we have to be cognizant of that, because it's very easy to get Tylenol or acetaminophen overdoses.
Awesome. Awesome. So then tell me this. I want to bring Amy, our patient, into this from a real, person perspective. But before we transition to Amy, how do providers and patients go about creating a safe medication list together? So it's one thing for me to be at home and pulling, you know, my list together, but it's another thing for me to be in the office setting when I go visit my, you know, physician, for me to actually, you know, be in partnership with him. What does that really look like? Because I've never done this, you know, exercise before. So what should I expect? What does that look like?
Well, great. And the AHRQ references are very helpful. In other words, well, what if you're in a clinic and you've never done this before, and maybe you're new to the staff and you're a nurse, you know, where do you start? And really, it's another way it can be overwhelming. It certainly can be. But if we look at it as taking it in smaller chunks, let's do it a little bit at a time. Sometimes that's more manageable, because I have patients that are on, when you talk about all the herbal remedies and over-the-counter non-prescription medicines, that are easily on 25 and 30 medicines. That's a daunting task, and I get that. So maybe you start with some of the primary conditions the patient has, their diabetes and their chronic heart failure, for instance, and then work up to that complete list. But to begin this, if the patient, the family knows this is what we're striving for, we can build that over time. So the resources that are available on the Create a Safe Medicine List Together are very helpful, particularly for those who are just saying, well, we've got to do this. Where do we start? So it's start engaging that conversation and building it from them. Amy, what do you think?
I think that's very important. I have been fortunate enough to work with Dr. Isis over the past 20 years, and many times he has worked with me on my lists, which are quite extensive. It's very important to keep all your medications together. You'd like to assume that everybody does that, but what I have done with my multiple medications for multiple healthcare reasons, I have a lunch bag that I can put all my medications in. So when I need to go to my primary care doctor or my internist, I can take all those medications and all the additional items over the counters, ibuprofen, eye drops, injections, all of that goes in the bag and goes with me to my primary care appointment for a review. Once we've reviewed the information to make sure it's updated on that file, I can then take that medication list provided by the doctor and take it to my pharmacy to make sure everything is a match.
That's good. That's really good. So, Amy, you know, when I think about this, there are a couple things or a few things that kind of come to mind listening to Dr. Isis in your example. So, you know, patients having a complete list and actually understanding their medication is an opportunity in doing this exercise, I would imagine. So when I'm talking to my provider, it gives me an opportunity to really understand, do I even still need to take this medication, you know, based on our conversation? And then, you know, to the point that Dr. Isis had made, you know, of course, it sounds like it could definitely, you know, reduce errors, right, in medications that are prescribed to me and or anything that I might be using over the counter that might not necessarily go very well with the prescription medications that I'm also taking. So it sounds like it might even be an opportunity to reduce some of the number of prescribed medicines. And I know just from taking medicines, you know, there have been times when there are allergic reactions and just every, you know, which thing as a patient, and you really just want to get your arms around that. So it sounds like it's a great partnership between patients and their providers. Is there another piece of advice that you might give to consumers to better understand the real priority around medicine management?
Sure, Dr. Washington. Let me go first, and then I'll turn it to Amy again. Really, they're just three very important pieces of information for each medicine. I'm going to get at that whether or not a person has a continuing need for a medicine. So what type of information should be listed on the medicines list? Okay, obviously, what the medicine is, the name of it, including the remedy, over-the-counter remedies, things that you're getting from other sources. Maybe it's from Amazon, who knows where. That's number two, is how they're taking it. And the really important one is, why are we taking it? Okay, yeah, answer that question. Okay, I'll use an example. Maybe they were put on a stomach medicine, omeprazole or Prilosec, we'll say, and they're put on that in the hospital. And a lot of times we'll do that in the hospital to prevent ulcers while you're in a hospital bed. Well, patients end up taking it for years and years without ever asking the question, do you really have an ulcer or do you have esophageal reflux disease? And we have to ask hard questions now of why they're taking it. Why am I taking it? And if you ask those hard questions with your healthcare providers, I think that's one of the most important starting points. Amy?
And I would agree with that, especially after visiting an emergency department or staying in the hospital. You might be released with a prescription that you have filled or they give you multiple fills. When you work with your doctor, you'll be able to identify all those things you have. There could be duplication in therapies. I think an important part at this point is once you've established your list with your doctor, you need to make sure you take it to your pharmacist, who can then look further at it and determine what you need to take at what time of day, what you need to take 10 hours apart from this other medication so you don't have contraindications, you don't have cross reactions to things. So it's a very important part. The discussion with your pharmacist is what, as I have said, is the map to how you take your medications during the day. What you know, once again, what you take in the morning, what is going to cause drowsiness, you want to take at night. When you map it all out, it's just a great resource, and you can keep it with you. I'm a single individual, so I have this list with me at all times. So when somebody, in the event that something happens, I can simply, if I need to go into an ambulance or go to an ER, I can simply take out the list and say, this is what's going on. It also identifies, once again, the healthcare issues that are being covered.
That's awesome. That's great information. So let me tell you guys about a scenario that I had. Recently, I went to a minute clinic. I had seemed to be like a sinus infection, and I knew that I needed a simple antibiotic, and I wasn't able to get into my regular provider's office. So I went to the minute clinic, and I was able to go in and get a prescription. And of the advice of the nurse practitioner there, they basically told me, you know, that I could use the pharmacy there at their site. And I refused and said, no, I'm going to take this to to the regular Walgreens that I use. And it was because it was two different chains. I was being referred, you know, to going to CVS, but I primarily use Walgreens. Was there any benefit? I mean, for me, it was, you know, ease of use. I just wanted to make certain that, you know, everything was kind of all together under my one record, as opposed to me getting it at CVS and then, you know, Walgreens never having it on my profile. Is there any real benefit to that? I would imagine, based on today's conversation, there is.
Dr. Washington, that is the ideal. If we could get all our medicines in one place, that would be ideal, and it's recommended. We also realize that these are our new times, and fortunately, there's a substantial push on interoperability of medical records. But more important, in my perspective, is patient ownership of their own medical records.
That's good.
They've tried this something called the Blue Button campaign, where I own my medical record, and I invite you as a healthcare provider to come in and share my medical record. And I think that as we move forward, that's going to be a tremendous advantage, a benefit to medication effectiveness and safety.
For more information or to download the Create a Safe Medicine list, please go to the CAPS website at www.patientsafety.org or go to www.ahrq.gov to download the primary care guide.
I worked as a technician for a dozen or so years, so I've seen both sides of this. What I do and prescribe to is that when I come out of the doctor with this list, I should be able to match it to my pharmacy profile. And that way, it makes sense. In the old days, we all went to one pharmacist. We knew that person. There's no reason why you can't establish a pharmacist-patient relationship in these days either. You might see a couple more people, but there should be a match because the pharmacist is the person who's going to tell you what, when, and how to do things with your medication.
Well, I want to thank you both, Dr. Isis and Amy, for joining us on today. This has been a great dialogue. We're hopeful that our consumer listeners will take the advice that you all have given. And just to kind of recap a few things that I learned on today in our conversations, number one, patients should always bring all of their medications to their doctor's appointment, including those that they're taking over the counter, such as ointments, creams, eye drops, inhalers, injections, vitamins, herbal medicines, you name it. You should basically put it in that bag, right, Amy, and bring it along to your primary care provider's appointment. And then you mentioned another thing, Amy, you said in particular after you've been to the emergency room. So I do want to stress that as well for those of us who have visited the emergency room for that follow-up visit. You want to make certain that you absolutely do it or after being discharged from a hospital admission. The other thing is we want to encourage all of our listeners to use the AHRQ Create a Safe Medicine List program. And AHRQ, again, stands for the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. So you can go to ahrq.gov and you can look for the Create a Safe Medicine List program. And it's one way that providers and patients can definitely reduce medicine errors. With the safe medicine list, both providers and patients know what the patient's taking, how they're taking it, and why they're taking it, which is so critically important for safety reasons. And then last but certainly not least, as you mentioned Brian and both Amy, patients should try to use the same pharmacy as best they can for all of their medications. Pharmacists, in addition to their doctors, can review all medications being taken to reduce any medication errors. So again, for more information, you can go to ahrq.gov for information around the Create a Safe Medicine List program, or you can go to patientsafety.org. And so CAPS looks forward to you coming to our website at patientsafety.org to get any of these downloads and tools. Thank you again for joining us today, and until next time, be safe and healthy. Labs would like to thank AHRQ, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, for joining in to collaborate with MedStar Health System and others across the country to develop the Create a Safe Medicine list together. Please go to www.ahrq.gov. Please go to www.patientsafety.org for more information about CAPS and to download this podcast or others. We also have tools and resources to show how patients can better partner with their health providers.